Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. My name's David Gibson, and our guest today is Kathleen Sutton. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi there.
You know, what we normally do is at the beginning of each show, we'll set an intention, and while you're speaking, I often go back to this intention and hold the frequency of this intention while you're speaking and through the whole show. And we can also even have the people listening hold the intention with us as well. Any thoughts as to what we might have as an intention for today?
Let's see.
I think maybe that, how about something about the heart of the feminine coming back onto the earth?
That sounds good. Embodiment. Yeah, the embodiment of the heart of the feminine. That sounds good.
Great. Okay, so let's tune into that vibration of what that would be like and hold that frequency. Got goosebumps and chills. Got chills in my butt. I know when I get chills in my butt, it's really working. Okay. So, wanted to start just by finding out a little bit about yourself and your background, and then we'll go into what your life mission is about, and what you want to do in this lifetime, and then we'll get right into the heart of it. But tell us a bit about your background.
I started with a deep interest in herbs and healing based on my parenting style and choices and wanting to find alternatives to the medicine that was offered to my children for various things, which opened a pathway into connecting with not only myself, you know, my own motherly intuition and desire to be a really great mom, but also it opened up a whole avenue and a whole world of herbs and healing, which led to energy healing, learning about meridians and chakras and Chinese medicine, and I've been going to conferences for years about, you know, studying all the various types of healing. So I really became an explorer and a seeker about how to heal the body, the emotional self, and the soul. And I simultaneously was working on my BA in psychology at Sonoma State University, and focused on the divine feminine, art process, and other aspects of psychology, and then went on to get my master's degree in depth psychology, which is the spiritual psychology, the study of archetypes and transformation and alchemy, and really being present with the human process. Not going in trying to fix things or look at what's wrong with the situation, but really going in and holding trust and presence with the process and becoming very knowledgeable of dreams, dream work, how to access wisdom through the dreams, and also really beginning to look at the world symbolically, and then learning how to help others to see the world in a symbolic way, which really symbolism is the language of the soul. So the soul speaks through symbols. It's a different mode of communication and language. It's a little bit more subtle and maybe even obscure at first if somebody hasn't explored this yet. And so then that led me to shamanic work. I was introduced into shamanism through the Depth Psychology program, and really found a kind of a natural kinship or calling to it, and went on lots of different types of journeys and working with plant, different animal helpers, and which led to a deep journey and a deep personal shamanic journey and transformation and initiation process that I end up writing my thesis about. So, so that.
Thanks. So, you know, when you talk about process, I assume there's a huge range of you know, shadow aspects that come up in this process, or that the process takes you through the transformation of those shadow aspects. And but my understanding is that you did along with your thesis, you did this process for a very for a specific issue or a specific, you went through a transformation yourself in a really big way while doing this thesis. And I'm really interested in finding out, you know, about that transformation process you went through, and then how you then use that to help other people. Okay, so take us through the process, if you will, maybe in relation to what happened with you. If you don't mind, I know this is not too personal.
No,
I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, it's fine, and that's, you know, that's part of the, I think, the embodiment of the feminine wisdom is sharing our stories of how we came into an empowered feminine place, and other women's stories have inspired and helped me, and I know my stories have inspired and helped other women, and also this speaks also to the male also. And when I say feminine, I don't mean necessarily woman. Feminine also relates to men as well, because men also hold feminine attributes, potentials, aspects, qualities. So this is speaking to the feminine in all of us. So I'm happy to share my stories about that and any information I've collected along the way to help other people, help create kind of a map or guidepost for other people to walk it also, or walk their own path. So it began with a moment of fear and wonder. So in a moment where I felt both incredible wonder and awe with my connection with the universe and with nature specifically, and at the same time felt incredibly deep fear, as if I was prey and there was a predator hunting me. And in this moment, I stood in the center of these polar opposite feelings and said, "What is this? How is this possible? What is?" And I felt so charged and so alive, and that was the beginning of my inquiry, which led me almost instantly to reclaiming what wasn't first reclaiming. First, it was becoming aware of what I would call the dark goddess or the dark feminine, whom in many cultures has been worshipped and acknowledged in by the name of Kali, Irishkigal, mother, sometimes Mother Hell or Mother Holly, Baba Yaga is another one. There are many stories and myths and fairy tales that talk about her, and I'd encourage anyone listening to go look up any of those stories. And because again, the soul speaks through stories, it speaks through symbols. So many of the soul's interworkings are laid out in our myth and fairy tale. So almost immediately began to hand me books, and information started coming to me about Kali. And I looked at that and just said, wow, I think this is where I'm heading. You know, I'm feeling that I felt this deep internal calling to check this out. Who is this? Who is this dark goddess? And wow, she's, you know, there's a little bit of trepidation there. You know, I knew she was very powerful. And at the same time, I knew she held keys to my healing.
What's the essence of Kali?
Kali is essentially she is in the womb of the earth, and well, she has two aspects. One as the great destroyer. So she will destroy, she can destroy and transform anything that needs it. So kind of like compost. You know, she is like the holy composting pile, you know, that can take in what is no longer needed and necessary and help transform it into light and new energy. So she also births everything. She is the essential feminine nature that's the great womb, the great birthing of life. So she really stands at an incredible, or she sits in a really incredibly powerful place. So any time in my life that I feel I need to transform something, or I'm noticing a lot of transformative energy, I will call on Kali and say, hey, you know, please help me. Help me move this through. You know, help me change this and transform this to the next, you know, so that I can access the rebirth that I know is on the other side of this. So really, death, which is transformation and rebirth, she holds the keys to.
How do you meet Kali? I mean, how do you get there? I mean, do you just call her, or do you rituals to dive into? Because this is like really deep stuff, really. I mean, it's the underworld in a way that you're going into. Is there, are there portals, or how do you get that help?
Well, first of all, this work is not for everybody, and it does, I'd say that there are some preparatory steps first to take, and that is to help the ego to become, and by ego I mean it's the tool of consciousness that helps you in relating with your environment. So the ego is the I that is in relationship with everything that you come into contact with, that you're aware of, which is consciousness. Consciousness is that which you're aware of. The ego is the tool for consciousness as you relate to your waking world, your waking life. So your ego first needs a little preparation. It needs to become more flexible and fluid so that you're able to incorporate more of who you are as opposed to black and white thinking. To first do some practices around becoming more fluid and kind of realizing and really understanding, experiencing that you are connected and you are essentially all potential manifestations of human beingness, that you are not disconnected from, say, the thief. You know, you too are, and somewhere in you there's a thief that wants to take something from somebody else. And even in that, just, you know, anyway, so your ego needs to become a little fluid, I could say, or flexible. Because when you go into part of the trepidation of going into the underworld is that the ego can get, it can get taken over because energy, you know, so it's something to go into with a lot of respect and a lot of already you know, kind of knowing yourself, knowing your connection with the earth and knowing your connection with, you know, that you're connected to something greater. And so I would, like I said, I would first kind of, easy road into this would be to look up the Black Madonna and study the Black Madonna and what's been written about her and how she is very alive in France. She originally comes from Africa, and she holds both the Mother Mary energy, which is pure and all-loving mother, you know, kind of the upper chakras, heart, mind. And she also holds, because she's dark, she's black, she holds the intuition, the deep knowing, the earth, the animal, the primal instincts, the, you know, that knowing as well. So she's a really amazing representation of both and, which is, both and is a very important quality in this kind of work, because it incorporates both and instead of either or. And we call that acausal thinking, both and. So the Black Madonna holds both and more of a, she's a whole representation of the feminine.
So once you go down, you do the preparation, preparatory work, you go down, and it's a process that I assume is kind of out of your control at that point, huh?
Totally. Yeah. It was the only control I had was to continue to release. I made a conscious choice to continue to release and let go and trust the process. And there are several writers on this topic that I also, you know, there's a lot of information about other women who have gone on these journeys. And oftentimes it comes as a calling. There's a deep inner calling that the calling, usually women will talk about it as feeling dried up, feeling at the edge of death, feeling internally a loss of eros, a loss of vitality, a loss of passion, a loss of their creativity, you know, a deep sorrow and a dried upness of their most
kind of the soul. Huh?
Yeah, and that's the calling comes from that place, because it is the dark feminine that has the healing balm for that dried upness, for that pain. She holds the keys.
So once the, correct me if I'm wrong, I just want to call it the fire burns through, or the transformation takes place. What's the next step? I mean, how do you, because I assume there's a whole step of making it back and really integration, huh?
Yeah, right. Another myth to check out, or story to check out, is the story of Inanna, Innanna. It's one of the most ancient myths written that they can find. It's from Sumeria, ancient Sumeria. So the process of entering into the darkness is it's letting go and shedding the things that you identify with, the things that the ego is identified with as being you. Because there's a necessary kind of stripping down and becoming vulnerable and open to the rebirth. And then there's a period where after you've been stripped down and fully, you know, you've fully said yes to the process, and that's a very raw place to be. There's a level of, or there's a state and a time where you don't know what's what anymore. It's kind of like you no longer have that which you identified with, and you don't yet have the new you yet. And so there's a very, very delicate space there, kind of between the worlds, or it's actually a lot of peace there as well. There's kind of a natural Zen state of being there. And I would have dreams of incredible light. Like when I was in my most darkest times is when I was having incredible visions of light and blessings coming into me. I've never been in such states of total vulnerability and total, like, complete, utter joy and wonderment. So, you know, and that's the time, the thing about time is it doesn't really exist in these processes. It's so, the soul works outside of time in a sense. So I knew that I trusted that this process would eventually bring me up and out, and then I'd be able to integrate all of it. But when I was there, there was no telling how long it would take. I didn't have, again, that's another level of our egoic letting go, right? We want to know. We want to know when. We want to know how. We want to know what's going to happen. But that's, it's in letting.
Huh? You want to be in control as well.
Yeah, wanting to be in control. That's the ego, man. And in order for the rebirth of the new, the ego must go through a death. And, you know, we go through these all the time. And that's something to note, is that, you know, if you've gone through a loss of a job, a loss of relationship, a loss of a loved one, there's all these little deaths that happen in our lives. And those are all opportunities, whether we like it or not, for the ego to release a bit of what it thought that, and to humble, kind of come into a little more of a humble place of, I don't know what everything that's going to happen. I don't have control, and I trust that I'm in the hands of something larger than me. I'm in the hands of, you could call it a life process, a greater purpose, a divine will, a source.
That's the divine feminine there, right?
Yeah, yeah, and there is the divine feminine. And all you have to do is go walk in some beautiful place in nature to know and feel and connect with the divine feminine that's very alive all around us and within us. She is the river, so to speak. She's referred to as Sophia Sarasvati. She's the river of life, of moisture, of, you know, this indwelling wisdom, blessing.
And it's a flow that you can't control. It's really just a matter of syncing up with it, kind of, huh?
Yeah, you can invoke it. You can ask to be aligned with it. You can learn about it with your mind, you know, look into it, research it, read about it. You can put a small something in your house, a candle, a glass of water somewhere special to honor it. I mean, just by saying the name Sophia, 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 you know, that's invoking and imbuing the field right now with the energy. And it feels alive. It feels joyous. It feels energizing.
What's the best way to hold this divine feminine energy in a patriarchal world? And not only to hold it, but to help transform the patriarchal world without anger or, you know, fighting.
Yeah. Well, she... I think that the more... That's a big question, isn't it? Because it can bring up a lot of things. You know, we're coming out of an age where the dominant paradigm was controlled by the masculine thinking, which tended to be males. And but before that, we came out of a more feminine dominated paradigm. So where are we now? And the way I see it is it's a coming together of the wholeness and fullness of both of those. And so how can we bring more feminine to the table, and not in a way that's, we don't want to, it's not like we don't want to do away with masculine values, because those are intrinsic to the balance. But we want to bring more of the feminine values to the table and make space for them.
To make a balance
and stand as equals and stand in our power and really radiate the wholeness that is, that we represent. So I think it's part of it is, you know, the tool of discrimination, or I'm sorry, discrimination or differentiation is really helpful. And we don't want to stay in differentiation for too long, but to use it as a tool to say, oh, this is a masculine quality, this is a feminine quality. I want to have both. And so how can I help bring both of these to the table with me, or both of these more alive? So that's helpful to know what's what, first of all. The other thing that's helpful is, let's see, the beeping. Sorry, we have a phone beeping that's about to die, so we're going to have to, we're going to share a headset and make a little transition here, so pardon me.
Let me go ahead and hang this one up, and you just go ahead and continue, and I'll just, when I speak, I'll...
Okay. So the question of how to bring more of this feminine energy to the table in a way that's not going to, it's not like, you know, we want the feminine to totally take over, but we want the feminine to come into a place of balance in harmony with the masculine, as, you know, what's called the great conjunctio, you know, the divine marriage of masculine and feminine that alchemy and other traditions talk about and, you know, say is the ideal to move towards. I think for women to, you know, really begin to differentiate and look at, you know, where has her culture told her that her feminine values are not good or bad or should be pushed away in place of these masculine ones, which are, quote, or supposedly better. So to really look at that, look at, you know, where her upbringing and where her own belief system is about those things, and doing some of her own self-healing and self-love work to bring forth those qualities in her. Like, you know, I like the image of the wolf, and if She Who Runs with the Wolves is a wonderful book by Clarissa Estes Pinkola. She just does a marvelous job of really in detail describing this for a woman's process. And I may also invite men to read it as well, because again, for men, it's an indwelling process. It's the inner feminine that he's addressing. For a woman, she's addressing that which she embodies physically in the world. So it's helpful for both men and women. But the image of the wolf is wonderful because a wolf is instinctive. A wolf protects her pack. She stays with her group. Wolves mate for life. Wolves, again, are close to their senses. They smell, they hear, they see. They run quickly. They're on the ground, you know. So the image of the wolf for a woman is very, I think, very powerful. And another thing about the wolf is that it doesn't need to lead with aggression or striking out. It's kind of like, as far as that aspect of me goes with, you know, when I need to really step forward and say something or do something or act, I kind of hold it back until the wolf says now. You know, it's kind of, there's an instinctive, you know, it's kind of waiting until it's really important and then don't, you know, not swallowing it back. Like we're, you know, I think I grew up learning that to hold back my emotions, to hold back my points of views, to what I really thought and felt. So there's this is all a process. I'm talking about it like it's like a, you know, I don't know, A, B, C, D, or, you know, it's some perfect formula, but it's not. It's the unfolding of your true self. And so it moves in a more spiral fashion, uncovering or unpeeling the onion or, you know, that kind of imagery. So tuning into your instincts, you know, tuning into your body. The body, see, Kali represents the body. She represents the instinct, the primal feelings, the definitely sensuality, sexuality. The embodiment of of who we are is where I find a lot, you know, the feminine strength. The other thing that, along with Kali, is the Aphrodite energy, who has been known as the Venus, who has been known as Ishtarte, who has been known as Inanna. So this Aphrodite energy, whom some believe, Bolin writes about her as a goddess of her, kind of in her own category. You know, Aphrodite is a Greek goddess, and she's kind of in a category all of her own because she's known as the transformational goddess as well, because love transforms, and love transforms, love heals. We've seen, you know, I'm sure each of you have a story or an instance where you've seen love just completely heal something or move something in a better direction. So the combination of the embodiment of Kali and our instincts and the earth and our roots with the heart wisdom of working in a gentle yet powerful way through the heart energy, which reminds me a lot of water. It's like, I think that the water is a wonderful symbol also for the feminine because it's powerful. It can smooth any rock, any boulder, you know, it moves and breaks things apart. It's incredibly powerful. And yet it's subtle and it's soft and it's flexible and it moves. It's moving. So, you know, the heart is like water, you know. So Aphrodite, also, I'd say the Christ energy, also, you know, that heart energy that leads us and helps transform.
You know, I've got a tricky little question here. What's the sound of the feminine? What would the sound of the feminine sound like?
Well, I'm going to call in some help for this one. I'm going to call in help from... well, I'd like to invoke Aphrodite and Sarasvati or Sophia. I'd like to invoke Kali, welcome her to the table also. And then also invoke something of the angelic realm also to help kind of pull this together into a sound, because you know, angels know a lot about harmonic frequencies. So, okay, so I've kind of invoked my team here. And I'm also setting sacred space now by putting an octahedron around me. And I'm going to open up my voice and offer this sound to come through me. The sound of the divine feminine.
Understand that you now have your own healing practice. In your healing practice, how do you bring in this process, and what do you do in your healing practice? Because my understanding is that what you do is quite amazing.
Well, I use this wisdom, this I've embodied wisdom in every, definitely in all the healing work that I do. It's always with me, so to speak, because I depend on it. I depend on grounding into the earth. That's one of the first things I do with a healing session. My healing practice is called therapeutic alchemy, and it's really the combination of depth psychology, alchemical healing, and sound healing to help move out anything that's in the way of you connecting with your direct connection with source and to aligning and opening to your higher purpose and your inner wisdom. So it's using some shamanic soul work that I'm a practitioner of, and also all the depth psychology tools and training, and also the sound healing. So as far as this feminine wisdom that I've been talking about, and the first thing we do is we ground. So before anything happens, I help lead myself and whoever I'm working with into a nice, just comfortable, grounded place, you know, feeling the gravity of the earth, honoring our body, honoring that connection. I also reach up and bring in and invoke the wisdom from above, from the sun, from the moon, from the stars, from source directly, from any guides of the highest vibration of love and light that want to assist. And then I center it in the heart. We spend some moments visualizing feeding our heart flame, really feeding the heart flame with love and opening our hearts. So from that place, and you can almost see it as a cross, you know, like an equilateral cross or any kind of cross that you like. It's like becoming the cross, becoming centered and balanced with the above, the below, and the heart connection that I have and we have with each other. So I think that kind of answers your question. It's, you know, I really bring it through in a very practical way. This is practical wisdom, you know. It's practical knowledge to just be able to ground yourself and to open up to wisdom in your heart, you know. It's like everything, that's the foundation.
This might be a good time to play the song, play of Unconditional Divine Love, because it's about bringing in that energy. If you will, Don, go ahead and play it now, and then we'll come back. You know, this song makes me think of the Divine Feminine in that the structure of the song when I wrote it was about the spiral that goes up and down through the body and then down into the earth on the end. So it's this kind of flow of movement that is really a flowing movement that I really feel when I hear that song or when I wrote the song. So it seems to really fit really well. I understand that not only do you have your practice, but you're also going to be doing classes. We're going to be doing classes at the Institute here at some point, but I know you've got a class that you're working on right now. Tell us about your class that you're working on.
So the class that I am going to be teaching this spring is called Embodying the Sacred Feminine Through Myth and Movement. So I'll be talking about this more in detail and also telling stories, and we'll also be doing movement around moving and embodying these different aspects of the feminine to engage and introduce and form a deeper relationship with these aspects of the feminine, of who we are. So it's a experiential, but also a kind of learning on all levels about the divine feminine, both within ourselves and within each other, and who she is kind of across space and time more universally.
What is your contact info if people want to get in touch with you?
So you can reach me at 707-292-3161, or you could check out my website, which is under construction and will be a little more up to date within the next couple weeks. But that is 123alchemy.com, 123alchemy.com, and I have an email address there that you can reach me at also.
So what I'd like to do is now again invoke that energy of the divine feminine coming back into the earth and coming into balance with the masculine, in especially coming back into men as well, because until it comes into men, it's going to be hard to have a balance in any of us. And so hold this frequency of this intention. Because once this happens, not only will we be balanced individually, but it will manifest in government. It will manifest in business. It will manifest in all aspects on the planet, much less the etheric fields and the level from bringing in the from the planet itself all the way up to the central suns of all universes. So hold this energy into the evening, into the night, into the weekend, into the rest of the week, into the weeks ahead, months ahead, years ahead, and lifetimes ahead. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you very much, David.
And everyone take care and be blessed.